We pray, Lord, that that is indeed our heart's prayer, that you will bind us together because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, Lord, I pray that my words might be your words, and through your Holy Spirit minister to each of our spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, no doubt you've heard of the term collective noun. That is, what's the name of a group of things all gathered together? So, obviously, the collective noun for sheep is a flock. We know that. And one of those obscure ones that people like to quote now and then, a collective noun for crows. Does anyone know it? Everyone knows that one. A murder of crows. I love that picture of crows gathering together. How about for dermatologists? Have we got any dermatologists here? Maybe you work with a dermatologist. I've heard that it's called a rash of dermatologists. Maybe a treatment of nurses. A spark of entrepreneurs, perhaps. Or maybe this one for the accountants among us. A fudge of accountants, maybe. For a few librarians, we'll all go, oh, yes. It's a shush of librarians. Or one of my favourites that I've found, and I hope the lawyers won't mind this one, a quarrel of lawyers. Well, as we gather together as Christians, I wonder what you would call a group of Christians as they gathered together. Well, of course, we're a church, or in this particular situation, a congregation, or maybe a gathering. But the Bible also uses terms such as body, a bride, that is the bride of Christ, or a family, the family of God gathered together. Augustine of Hippo was an early church father. He defined church somewhat between church invisible and church visible. He said the church invisible is those elect of God who are true Christians, that God really only knows about. It's their relationship with him and his relationship with them. Whereas the church visible is those people that gather together, perhaps each week or each day. It's effectively an institutional body here on earth. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we read that not everybody who says to me, that's to Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, it's true to say that even though people gather together as the visible church, it might be that there are people within the church that won't be with God in heaven. Why is that? Well, simply because they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. They do gather together in a church service. The invisible are those who do know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, but we know that you don't need to go to church to become a Christian. It certainly helps, but it's not required, because what's required to be a Christian? Well, knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So therefore we can say that the body of Christ, the visible body of Christ in its tangible sense, is those who are both the invisible church and the visible church, that subset of those people who are truly Christian, who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and gather together as a body. Now, within the visible church concept, that is, people gathering together, we have various different subsets, if you like. You could say that we have a Catholic church. Now, by Catholic here, I don't mean the denomination Roman Catholic. I mean the Catholic that we just proclaimed that we believed in when we read out the Nicene Creed. Did you notice that? We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Catholic there simply means universal. That is, the church of all believers everywhere across all time. And then, of course, we've got denominations within that. Anglican, Roman, Catholics, Baptists, and so on. And within each of those, or certainly in the Anglican structure, you might have a diocese. That is, a particular region that is managed by a diocese. And then down to the local parish. That's us, Christchurch, Lavender Bay. Or even closer still, the body of Christ which is gathered here, the 10 a.m. service of Christchurch, Lavender Bay. But this congregation isn't just an organism on its own, it's made up of many individual members. Each of you make up the body. And so, it begins with the individual member. When we talk about the body of Christ, or the family of Christ, It is the members who are gathered together who do have Jesus as their head. In Ephesians chapter 4, what I've decided to do with the screen is just put up those passages that you might need to flick to in your Bible. I encourage you to flick to them if you're able to, but to have the main passage that we're going to be looking at open in front of you, which will be 1 Corinthians chapter 12 very shortly. Meanwhile, Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love, we, here, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, which grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, it's only those who acknowledge Christ as the head who are members of the body. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's only those who have been born again into the kingdom of God through the blood of Christ who are the family of God. As I said at our introduction to the service today, we're looking through some of the values of our church at the moment. On the first sermon 2 weeks ago, we looked at our value of being Bible-based and Christ-centered. And from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, our foundational verse in this matter, we read that all Scripture, is God-breathed and useful for rebuking, teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible is our foundation. Christ is the centre of the Bible. Last week we looked at another value, the generous use of everyone's spiritual gift for the building up of the body of Christ. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? And from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, early on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, now to each one, that's each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so it makes sense now that we continue on in 1 Corinthians 12 and we look at yet another of our values, acceptance, inclusion, and belonging in a loving family. So I do encourage you to open up 1 Corinthians 12. And we're looking from verse 12, not all the way to the end, just halfway through this section. To begin with, acceptance. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. The concept of church as a body or family does not start with an institution, but rather with the individual. All its many parts form the body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean to be baptized by one Spirit? Well, through the Gospels and then into Acts, we read a little bit about baptism with or in the Holy Spirit. From Acts chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, we read, for John baptized, that's John the Baptist baptizing, John baptized with or in water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit. This is a proclamation to the apostles and to the believers who were there. You will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think I said last week, the Holy Spirit, I think, is the most misunderstood person of the Trinity. Various different denominations will tell you various different doctrines about the role of the Holy Spirit, but here let's go back to the Bible and see what his role is. The role is clearly of the Holy Spirit to witness to Jesus. That is to point us to who Jesus is and what he's done. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it means that you are able to see who Jesus is and accept that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. And so, back in the early church, there was a diversity of backgrounds, cultures, and ethnic identities. Whether they're Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, the writer says. Many different distinctive cultural groups. The Jews define themselves as culturally Jewish, as having a connection to Abraham. You were either a Jew or you weren't a Jew. You were a Gentile. And here also, the writer identifies that there was the socio-political groups that were within a particular community, whether slave or free man. Now, I think they're just two subsets of what might have been going on in the community here. I imagine there's a whole lot of other subsets of that particular community back there, as indeed there are a whole lot of subsets within our own community here. Perhaps you can think of a few. We experience many divisions, we could say, or diversities, perhaps, on the other hand, in our community, in our nation, and in our world. And this, sadly, I think, defines whether we accept a particular person or not. Jesus redefines acceptance. In Ephesians chapter 3, Christ's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, and by that he's talking about Jew and Gentile in that situation, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Making the two one, making the many one through his death on the cross. Therefore, as a Christian, my identity is not in my cultural heritage, nor my political allegiance, nor my job status. It's not in my title or my standard of dress, or even in my sexuality. It's not based on my past sins or failings or my successes or triumphs. As a Christian, my identity, who I am and why I'm acceptable, is that I am in Christ. And so we can say at Christchurch Lavender Bay, you will be accepted, not because of these cultural differences or societal, even personal identities that go on, but because Christ died for you. It's nice to be accepted, isn't it? It's nice to know that it's not up to me to be accepted, but because of what Christ has done for me. Acceptance. Well, it's one thing to be accepted, but will I be included? Moving on from verse 15 and 17, little analogy. Now, foot should say, because I'm not a hand or do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, I'm not sure how an ear says, but nonetheless, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? At Christchurch Lavender Bay, we've agreed on a threefold mission for our church. Three different directions. Vertically, striving for personal maturity in Christ. Horizontally, building the body of Christ. And outwardly, providing hope through Christ to our community, our nation, and our world. To achieve this threefold mission, we need a diversity in the body. That is, a diversity of skills and passions and personalities. One day, Foot and her young five toes decided to hop along to their local church for the first time, looking for a place to belong. As she arrived, she met a few other members of the local body. Hand clasped her firmly, ear listened intentively to her story, mouth sang beautifully, and even shoulder warmed to her. But when eyes finally tore themselves off gazing at navel, they rolled at the sight of Foot and her unruly toes, while nose seemed to crinkle every time he came close to her. Foot was very aware of her shortcomings and was quite embarrassed by them. Yes, she was a bit rough around the edges and some would even say a little calloused. And her toes could be stubborn at times. She tried to hide her failings as she prepared to get them ready for church. She'd taken them all for a pedicure. She dressed her youngest in a cute little toe ring. She put on her best sandal and even a cute little anklet for the occasion. But now, as she looked around in the church in which she'd just arrived, she realised there was no one else like her. And they were mostly upper body. They didn't get around much. She loved to be on the move, walking, skipping, dancing, wriggling with the kids. Perhaps this wasn't the body for her at all. She longed to be around other feet just like her, and for her toes to have other little toes to become friends with. But then she bumped into Gluteus Maximus. Gluteus seemed to be bearing an incredible load in this church. He was under immense pressure from all of those who were relying upon him as the foundation of the body. He said that the church was quite comfortable, thanks to his efforts, but as a result, it tended to be quite stagnant, rarely moving. That's when Foot realised why God had called her to this body. She probably needed to change into a more practical sneaker or maybe even a work boot to bear the load and take the strain, but this body needed her to help them get moving again. In the next few weeks, she started to connect with a few other members. First, not surprisingly, it was ankle, then calf, shortly followed by knee and quad, and before long, Gluteus Maximus joined in too. And they took a few tentative steps together. It was awkward at first, but eventually they caught their stride. They supported each other, cared for each other, and rejoiced together as one. It seemed that the body had new life. Overcoming her prejudices, eyes lifted her gaze away from navel and helped to set a new vision for the body. Nose proudly led the way wherever they went, and foot felt accepted and included in the body. Which brings us, of course, to belonging. Accepted, included, now belonging. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. How do you know if you belong here at Christ Church Lavender Bay? Simply because God has placed you here. Because you are here today. He has placed you to be part of this body. You're belonging here not because you particularly like the architecture, as beautiful as it is, or the singing or the choir, as wonderful as that is, or the form of service, and not because there are others here who are just like you, although that would be nice. But you are here because God has placed you here for his purpose, with a particular role to play. This means that as a church, we need to be particularly careful about what we're seeking to win people with into our church here at Christ Church Lavender Bay. You see, what you win people with is what you win them to. What we want to win people to is Jesus. We want to see people come into the kingdom of God through our church. That is why we're here. We want people to become part of the body of Christ. And so we strive as individual members of the body and corporately as a body to proclaim Christ and his salvation for all. So when we gather together as the body, the question each person asks is not, do I belong here, but where can I serve? What part of the body dynamic am I to fulfill as an individual? Because it is God who has placed me here for his purpose and for his glory. Perhaps you feel like a foot who stabilizes the body and helps it move. Perhaps a hand or an ear or an eye or the left elbow or the nail on the little pinky on your right hand. Look around and see what the body needs. Ask if you have what it takes to fulfill that particular role in the church. But here's a hint as you're looking through and thinking through the body parts. Don't aim to be the tonsils. Don't aim to be the appendix. That is, those parts in the body that mostly go unnoticed and seemingly have no particular purpose in the body, except when they're painfully expressing their point of view, in which case everybody is ready to be willing to get rid of them and rejoices when they go. Don't be the tonsils. Don't be the appendix. But just as it is our role to find our role in the body, all the members here are to be working for the common good. And one of us sees that there's somebody who's struggling to find their place, their role, their purpose in the body, then we're to help them out. Joining into a body takes time. A newcomer stepping through our doors here for the first time will be on high alert. They will be asking the question, is this where I belong? Do I feel comfortable here? Is this the right place for me? Are there others like me in this place? And that's where existing members of the body have a responsibility to say and to show the newcomers, yes, you belong here. And not because of your cultural background or your preferred style of music, your denominational preference or the way you dress, but because God has placed you here today. And we are blessed to have you here among us. At Christ Church Lavender Bay, we value acceptance, inclusion, and belonging in a loving family. Accepted not because of personality, preference, or place, but because we are baptized by one Spirit who points us to our head, Jesus. Inclusion because you are part of the one body of Christ, and belonging because God has placed you here today, and I hope for a long time yet to come. Let me pray. Father, reveal your will to us corporately as your body, but individually as we play our role here. By your Spirit, Lord, we pray that we might be baptized such that we understand that Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour, and in him we grow together as one with one head and one body to glorify your name here in Lavender Bay, our community, our nation, and our world. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.